You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So Olympic weightlifter Laurel Hubbard, who's also transgender, made headlines recently with her campaign in the Olympics. The athlete faced widespread criticism and transphobic comments from the public due to her participations. I spoke to Dr. Jamie Vale from the University of Waikato on the matter. She is also transgender. And we also spoke about how this affects the wider LGBTQ community.
What are your thoughts on the backlash Laurel Hubbard has faced during her Olympic campaign?
Yeah, look, obviously it's a bit disappointing to see some hateful and hurtful comments, particularly online, and in some of the media, particularly some of the British media dead naming her, has been obviously disappointing. But look, you know, you used the word backlash, and that's something that we often see in social movements or when there is actual political change and things improving for a certain group. And you know, what we are seeing is so much more awareness and understanding of trans and non-binary people. So yeah, look, it's sad and disappointing, but in some ways it's not that much of a surprise that there is a backlash.
How does this hurt the LGBTQ community and the transgender community?
Yeah, look, I think just simply debating a trans woman's right to be treated like an equal citizen or compete in sport in the way that anybody else can, you know, it's really debating about taking away her rights, and that's really dehumanizing and cause further prejudice against, yes, trans women. But yeah, I agree that there is there's a lot of overlaps with the prejudices faced in the wider rainbow communities. So yeah, look, unfortunately, there's fear and misinformation about what people are saying in these so-called debates, and it's causing hurtful and harmful things to be said about it. And it's important to keep in mind that it might be most directly affected by some of these media debates and campaigns. And, you know, I'm really thinking about the trans girls and women who actually just like simply want to play in their school or club sports teams. Yeah, so we know from research that I've conducted, counting ourselves, the Aotearoa New Zealand Trans and Non-Binary Health Survey, that half of trans people in Aotearoa New Zealand avoid sports teams because of fear of how they'll be treated.
What are your thoughts on using the argument as of biology in order to, I guess, spread, you know, hateful comments about transgender people?
It can give a reason for these kind of comments, perhaps for people to justify that, but look, the reality is it's much more complex, that there are many variables that contribute to sporting performance and achievement, so psychological and social variables. But yes, look, biology does play a role for everybody. You know, if you're not a really salient example, if you're not in the highest percentiles of height, you're going to really struggle to be in, for example, netball or basketball at elite level. So look, bodies come in all shapes and sizes, and testosterone is just one part of the bigger picture. It builds sporting greatness. Laurel followed all of the rules around the testosterone. Look, we don't single out any other groups of women because of possible biological advantages. So yeah, it's disappointing that we single out trans women and also intersex women and give them so much more scrutiny.
Do you think we should see categories in sports specifically for transgender athletes, and do you think that would limit transphobic comments?
Yeah, look, I'm not hearing from the communities that we want to be treated separately or treated any differently. Look, we want trans women to be treated as women and trans men as men. And yes, there are difficulties with, you know, sport being so binary. You know, what does this mean for non-binary athletes? And yeah, we've had a couple of great non-binary athletes as well, who we don't hear as much about from in the Olympics. There's Quinn, the Canadian football player, and there's also an American skateboarder, I think, whose name escapes me. I do think we need to be thinking about the binary categories of sports, but you know, we also, it's complex, right? We need to be thinking about making sure that you know, the reasons that we do have these different categories are for, you know, for making sure that there's equality, that women sports gets equal attention and equal billing. So I think that these debates are going to be evolving. We're going to be seeing, I guess, more and more realization that gender differences are not just entirely about biology. I think in the future there'll be increased recognition of, you know, the psychological or social differences. If you're somebody assigned female at birth versus somebody assigned male at birth, you'll get a lot more encouragement and praise for being strong, which might help you to end up being like a weightlifter. Or if you're, you know, somebody assigned male at birth, you're going to have a lot more resourcing probably put into the sports that you, a lot of the sports that you might be involved in. And you only have to look back over time just to look at, for example, the different records and how they differed between men and women over time, and how far you actually have to go back in time to see when the women of today are competing just as well as the men in the past. So, I'm not an expert, and I'm sure there's lots of discussions that need to happen in the future about what sports will need to look like. But, you know, I'm pleased that people are starting to have these discussions. Actually, I think they're overdue.
A study last year showed that only 13% of Kiwis who are aged between 15 and 21 came out to their teammates. That one third of those who came out faced abuse. So I guess, As a nation, as a country, for the future, what do you think could be done, or what discussions need to be had in order to address this?
Yeah, so I think the research that you're citing there is looking at not just trans, sports players. It's the wider rainbow, or LGBTIQ and Takatāpui people. I guess I could supplement that with looking at trans-specific research. I mentioned counting ourselves earlier, and that we've had, and the amount who have avoided sports teams, 50% had avoided sports teams, 58% had avoided the gym because of fear of how they would be treated. Only 14% had actually participated in sports competitions or events in the last month, compared to what we know in the general social survey, 26% of the general population. So, yeah, big barriers for trans people there from my research, and, issues with wider rainbow communities. Going back to your question in terms of what needs to be done, I think it's just about, queer, trans, Takatāpui people, we just want to be treated in society just like anybody else, and, you know, with whatever that looks like for us, and for, we're such a sporting nation, and sports are so important to all of us, so, to many of us, not to all of us, of course. So, we just want to be able to participate in sports at equal levels, and actually we should have a right to be able to do that. So yeah, there is some way to go, and I think we just need to continue on our journey of, greater inclusion and acceptance, and even pride about who we are, going into the future. And then I think that will start to address these inequities, which I think also contribute to some of the more serious health and well-being inequities that our communities face as well.
That was Joe Wickens speaking to Dr. Jamie Veal from Waikato University about some of the controversies around Olympic weightlifter Laurel Hubbard competing in the Olympics this year, and some of the serious abuse and issues faced by transgender and LGBTQ+ people participating in sports.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.